Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've spent this Advent season preparing for the Lord's coming at the end of the age. There's still purple on the altar, on the pulpit, on the stole, and so we're still focusing on that coming at the end with repentance. We focus on Christ's coming today as God focused the attention of his people on Christ's coming 2,000 years ago by listening to the ministry of the forerunner whom God sent, the ministry of John the Baptist in particular. John the Baptist was the great forerunner of the Christ. He ran before Jesus to get the people ready for him. He announced ahead of time that Jesus was coming, even as John's coming was announced ahead of time by the prophet Malachi. Malachi, also Isaiah, whose prophecy you heard in today's gospel, saying that this voice would come, crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." And even in private, the angel Gabriel announced the coming of John the Baptist to his father Zacharias. John was about 6 months older than Jesus, and so we assume that he began his ministry about 6 months before Jesus began his. But John's ministry consisted in preaching God's message of repentance to the people of Israel and in baptizing those who repented. So the Jews who sent their ambassadors to John in today's gospel to ask him who he was and what right he had to baptize were not wrong to ask the question. No one was allowed in the church of Israel, even as no one is allowed in the New Testament church, to just get up and start preaching in the name of God, or administering the sacraments in the name of God, or in John's case especially, performing a new sacrament, a baptism, which had been unknown in Israel until that time. No one can do that without a rightly ordered call. Well, John had received no call from the church of Israel to preach or to baptize. And so he was either a rogue who deserved to be arrested, or he had a direct call from God, which we know to be the case, but the Jews didn't at that time, so they had to ask the question. Because no one in Israel had had a direct call from God for over 400 years since the prophet Malachi. And so the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" Well, there were only two possible legitimate answers to that question. As someone who was preaching and baptizing, the prophet Malachi had indicated in his book that two people, would be sent directly by God after him, after Malachi was. First, the messenger who would prepare the way before the Lord, and then immediately following, the messenger who was the Lord, that is, the Christ. The first messenger would be the forerunner, preaching repentance, or as Isaiah put it, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. The second one to come would be the Christ, the one whom God calls my Son, the one who would be anointed to be Israel's true prophet, priest, and king, the ruler over Israel. The one who would perform miracles, who would preach and teach, who would be despised and rejected by the people, who would bear the sins of the world, be crucified, and rise again from the dead. So if John's call to preach and to baptize was legitimate at all, He either had to be the forerunner or he had to be that promised Christ. John narrowed it down for the Jews immediately. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ," which only left one other possibility. According to Scripture, he had to be the forerunner. But then the Jews at that time, or at least the Jewish leaders, didn't understand their own Scriptures very well, which should make us wary whenever we read anything about Jewish interpretations of the Old Testament. They asked John, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Now, why would they ask him if he's Elijah? Elijah the prophet had died, or had not died actually, was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind and a fiery chariot some 800 years earlier. Remember what Malachi, the last prophet, prophesied in his book. "Behold," God says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Those were the last recorded words of the Old Testament, left ringing in the ears of the Jewish people for some 400 years. And it's true, according to Malachi 4, Elijah would come. And according to Jesus, John the Baptist actually was the Elijah that Malachi was pointing to. But the Jews here show how poorly they understood their Scriptures. They envisioned the actual Elijah who had gone up to heaven in a whirlwind, coming back down from heaven in a fiery chariot to preach and to perform miracles. And John rightly said, "No, that's not who I am." "Are you the prophet?" they asked. We assume they meant the prophet of whom Moses spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 18 when he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." But again, they were not understanding their own Scriptures very well. That prophecy was pointing to the Christ himself, who would be the true prophet sent from God, but also come from among the brethren of the Israelites. So again, John said, "No, that's not me." "Who are you then?" they asked. Since he had already ruled out being the Christ, John identifies himself as the forerunner with the words of the prophet Isaiah. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." See how John at once highlights the great importance of his ministry while at the same time minimizing his own importance. His importance lay not in attracting followers to himself, but in getting the people ready to follow the Christ. Make straight the way of the Lord. As Isaiah continued, "Every valley shall be exalted." That is, everyone who has sunken down into despair over their sinfulness will now be given new hope, will be called up to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. "And every mountain and hill shall be brought low." That is, every mighty person secure in his sin and in his standing before God because of how good he is will be accused, will be brought down by the preaching of God's law, will be called down to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, so that everyone was on a level plane. Everyone needed repentance. Everyone needed the forgiveness of sins. And in that baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, in that baptism which pointed to the coming Christ, John fulfilled the words you heard in the first lesson this morning. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. How was Jerusalem delivered from her warfare at the preaching of John? She wasn't delivered from earthly war, but from the war she had been fighting with God. Christ is the peace treaty. The Christ was coming with a pardon for all who sorrowed over their sins in Jerusalem. The Christ was coming to give God's waiting people twice as many divine benefits as all the sins that they had committed against God. That was the forerunner's task, to prepare Israel for the coming of the Lord. Be ready, the Lord is at hand. And sure enough, Jesus was already in the midst of the people, just about to reveal himself. Well, St. Paul was also a forerunner of a kind. Not the great forerunner John, but still a forerunner, as really were all the apostles. Paul said in the epistle that you heard today in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice, the Lord is at hand." He no longer stands among us visibly. He will, and soon. But until then, he has sent all kinds of forerunners to get his people ready for his coming, to bring new people into his church, people who haven't been Christians, haven't been believers in Christ, to call them to repentance and baptism, and then to prepare the baptized for Christ's coming by continually revealing sins, calling to repentance, and keeping you focused on Jesus, your Savior. God has sent forerunners in the form of ministers to preach repentance, as John did, to those who are secure in their sins, who think they have something to offer to God. Ministers to preach comfort, as John did, to those who know their sins and are afraid. Ministers to point to Christ, as John did. The Lord is at hand. He is near. He will come again for judgment against the impenitent and for salvation of his waiting people. For now, he has made himself near to us in ways that are just as powerful, if not as glorious. He is near where his word is preached and where his sacraments are administered. It's Jesus preaching. It's Jesus baptizing. It's Jesus handing out bread and wine, and together with it, his own body and blood, which are truly present to be eaten and drunk for the forgiveness of sins. So, repent. He's coming. Take an accounting of your heart, of your life. Don't let him find you proud when he comes, but humble. Not mistreating your neighbor, but letting your gentleness be known to all men, as Paul wrote. Not anxiously worrying about the things of this life, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God. Listen to the Lord's forerunner, John. Listen to his forerunner, the Apostle Paul, and to all the forerunners whom the Lord sends to point you to the coming Christ. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.